You're listening to Run, R-U-N, Revive Us Now podcast with Steve Gray. As pastor of the Smithton Outpouring and the Kansas City Revival, Steve is a leading voice of revival worldwide. Steve shares his life-changing encounters with God, along with biblical teaching that equips you to experience and lead lasting revival. Come, run with Steve and expect God to revive us now.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another Revive Us Now podcast. I am your host, Steve Gray, and I have my friends with me, both Frank and Frank. Two Franks with me today. And let's start down at the end this time. Say your name, Frank.
Frank DiPietro.
Frank DiPietro, and I got it wrong last time on our other broadcast. This is Frank Seamster. Got his name right because I've known him for over 30 years. But I've known the other Frank for a long time, and I never have got it right yet. But he told me his wife gets it wrong every once in a while, so I'll just take that. But anyway, we're together here to talk about revival. But more than that, the last podcast we did, we talked about the problem we have today is another Jesus. Is there another Jesus? No, but there's one being preached. I called it the commercial Jesus or the popular Jesus, and people are preaching another Jesus, but they're not doing it on purpose. It's the only one they know that's been presented by our society, culture, and the way it's just been brought up in church, and people don't know any better. But today we're going to talk about another gospel. Paul said that if people preach another gospel, people easily accept it. And that was in his day. Well, how much more in our day are people easily accepting another gospel than the one that he preached? And we want to wake up to it. And like I said, we're not being critical. It's the only gospel people know because a lot of young preachers especially, but it doesn't have to be the young ones, they've come up through church and they've listened to a gospel about me and humanism and self-centeredness. And so they want to help people. They sincerely want to help people. And they just don't know. They think the best way to help people is to talk about themselves and to feel sorry for people and to help them through their hurts is to sympathize with people and tell them, well, just keep going. Just keep trying. And sometimes the worst advice you can give somebody is to keep going. Sometimes you need to stop and do something different. I've had people, have you ever heard the sermon, your blessing's just around the corner? Yeah. And I tell people, no, not there's nothing around the corner if you don't change what you're doing. You're going to just get the same old. So Paul says the problem is that you can get another gospel and find out that you easily accept it. And that's the problem, easily accepted. And when people hear about themselves, it's all about self-centeredness, self, me, me, me. Of course, that's their favorite subject. So there is no other gospel, but even with good intentions, we can hear another compromised gospel, the gospel about me, the gospel about my pain, the gospel about my mistakes, the gospel about I'm a victim, the gospel about my circumstances. And all of a sudden, we're not wanting to follow, we're wanting to be carried. Right. We're just wanting to be carried. And this is not about being carried, it's about being followed. And I was just discussing right before we started how often we even get the concept that when Jesus is hanging on the cross, he was just thinking about me. He was thinking about me. Really? Really? I think this is a much bigger thing than about me, but we like that concept. And we kind of forget that when God started this whole thing, the command came down from the beginning, love me. God said, love me with all your heart. And once you start learning to love God, teaching people to love God, it's going to go right. But if you start making God put you first, and you think he should, that's not going to go that well for you. So anyway, that's where I start. I start with people like, love God, and it's going to go right for you. What do you think, Frank?
Oh, I think that's right, because sadly, the main message today is, first and foremost, love yourself. You got to love yourself. And that's the complete opposite of the gospel. Yeah. That's the complete opposite of what Jesus taught. And I believe because of that point of loving yourself, I believe that's why we have seen so many of the mega churches, and I'm not against mega churches. I thank God for people that are going to church, but I think about you know, sometimes some of our mega churches, we have become like Walmart supercenters, our mega churches. And not just the mega churches, a lot of churches have become like Walmart supercenters. It's like Walmart goes into a community and the first thing that they do is they shut down the mom and pop operations, yeah. The small churches. You know, they shut them down. And does that mean that their socks are better than the socks that mom and pop sold? No. What Walmart does, they come in and they cut the price. And we see that a lot in the churches today. They mm-hmm. come in and they cut the price. It's all about me. It's all about you being a victim. It's not about Jesus. It's not about putting Jesus first. And we have become more in love with his presents than his presence. We have become more in love with what he can give us instead of being in love with the God, you know, and that we should be. And we haven't sought first the kingdom.
Do you think that scripture about they're preaching what our itching ears want to hear?
Right.
And I want to give them a break. I want to say maybe they're just preaching what they don't even know what they're doing, but some do know what they're doing.
Yes, some do know. And that is possible.
But it's possible they don't know what they're doing.
Because as the culture goes today, you know, it's like you see this minister, you see this big church, especially if it's a mega church or a big name church, and they got a certain way that they dress or they got a certain way that they, then all of a sudden you start seeing all these copycats,
yeah.
You know, because they think that that's what draws the people,
yeah.
You know,
mm-hmm.
I'm relevant to the people. And so I think we've made it too easy. Mm-hmm. And we haven't preached the gospel. We haven't preached the word yet because, you know, Jesus said, he who seeks to save his life shall lose it, but he who loses his life for my sake in the gospel shall find it.
Yeah, and some, like I said, some might think maybe I'm being critical, and especially if they're a successful ministry. But,
right.
You know,
no.
I've been on everything.
Sure.
I've written the books. I've been on everything. I've been on every show. I've been in Newsweek magazine. Even a lot of them haven't, but I have. So I'm not being critical.
Right.
I know what it is to be successful in these things, but it's just I know also what works, and I just want to encourage those preachers, just be careful with this and get it on the gospel of who it's about. You know, one of my favorite scriptures, just a short little scripture from Mark chapter 1:1. Do you know the gospel of Mark's first gospel written?
Right.
And the first line of the first gospel says, the gospel about Jesus Christ. And yet, I know I scroll through some of the one-liners, sermons on the internet, you know, and I hear about, he's not even mentioned.
Right.
Even if a scripture is, it's still the backup. You can do it. It's about you. I'm sorry for you. And then you get to the book of Revelation. People love the book of Revelation, and it says, the revelation
of Jesus
Christ. I need a revelation of Jesus Christ. Yeah. And you just stay on that and realize there's a whole world of sermons out there for preachers, teachers, churches that are that haven't even been touched on yet. And that's where you get the transformation, not being critical, just being a pastor to pastors and leaders everywhere, that we can get on the mark and keep going. And so I just love those two scriptures. Just get us on the mark. And help us. So we just got to come to the point where we get to the gospel that stops talking about us and we start falling in love with this man, Jesus Christ.
And that's going to happen.
It's got to happen.
Happen.
I believe it will.
Amen.
I mean, finally, you just get tired of talking about yourself. And
right.
And I believe, too, we just keep praying. I mean, if I can get it, the revelation of Jesus Christ, and say, I want to know this man. I want to know this man, Jesus. Then anybody can do it. You can do it. We can do it. And that's why we're praying for the revive us now. Revive us now, right? Uh-huh. Well, down on the other hand, I got my other friend, Frank. He's written a great book, The Fire That Once Was, all about revival. And you can get this book on Amazon.com. You should get it so you can understand the history of revival, and especially in America, and the great moments of revival. And I was talking, when you talk about the gospel about Jesus Christ, people get in circumstances where talking about themselves and their feelings doesn't get it. You're in the emergency room with a child sick or somebody in an accident. You don't want them to sit down and talk about your feelings. You need to get a hold of God.
Right.
And so we were talking about you get in war or emergency or whatever, you need the true gospel. You need Jesus on the scene. Tell us something about that in history.
Well, there's nothing more desperate than a country in war, and there's nothing more desperate than that than being on the front lines of that war. So in 1861, the Civil War broke out in America, but it was in the middle of the Great Prayer Revival also, which eventually turned into the Third Great Awakening. But it was a group of soldiers, not only in the South, but North and South, that were crying out for God, because that was their DNA from the past 5 years before the war even came along, was prayer, Jesus, our help, our hope, the light of the world. So they were crying out for God, even in between the battles that they were fighting.
And Frank, by the way, you know, most people listening studied the Civil War and never heard of the prayer revival. No. Now, before and during. It's just fantastic to read of the prayer revival going on around the campfires on both sides during the war. So I'm really glad you brought that up.
It was so amazing from what was happening. One newspaper man said, I was so in awe seeing a general leading his thousands of soldiers, not onto the field of battle, but onto their knees in prayer. Such a revival that broke out. It broke out in 1863, the winter of 1863, in President General Robert E. Lee's Army of Northern Virginia, in the Stonewall Brigade, Stonewall Jackson, who was baptized with the power of the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues. Before the war broke out, he was already baptized in that. But the revival broke out, and it just spread. It was just like a tidal wave that spread through the Confederate Army. Before long, the roster of revival was just every unit in the Confederate Army. It jumped the Confederate Army of Northern Virginia into the Army of the Tennessee, General Johnson's army. General Johnson was baptized along with General Hood and some of the other great Confederate soldiers. But it didn't stop there. In Chattanooga, it jumped the Chattanooga River and landed in the Union Army.
Yeah,
and here you had hundreds of human soldiers being baptized in the Chickamauga River while the Confederates are on the hillside cheering and clapping every time a soldier
Amazing.
Was dunked, and the power of the Holy Spirit just covered that whole area. Mm. And then 2 months later, what were they doing? They were fighting the Battle of Chancellorsville. After the Battle of Chancellorsville, there was another great revival meeting. It seemed like the war interrupted their revival meetings. General Jackson, when he had his arm amputated, the next day he asked what was going on, and instead of finding out about where the units were, they were talking about the great revival meeting they had the night before after the battle, where 1,800 soldiers gave their lives to Jesus Christ. So God is everywhere. God is in our good times, in our bad times, in our desperate times, and in our glorious times. He is the God of revival. He is the God of hope, and his name is Jesus. What other God in the world could ever stand up to the God who created everything that God was made out of? Is that too deep?
No.
You know, our God was the only uncreated God.
That's right.
So, you know, it's just such a thrill to be able to find out, when you study the true history of America, how it's really the true history, kind of like Acts, of how the Holy Spirit moved and kept bringing America back to where it needs to be. And we're at the point right now where the greatest awakening revival is going to hit this country we've ever seen. We can't comprehend it. All of us that have been in revival are going to stand with our eyes wide open and an awesome wonderment of a power that God's going to do. And it's going to be enough to change the world and even change Israel to say, we want what they have.
That's right. And you know, When we got out of high school, everybody was trying to go find themselves. Now we got gray hair and we've been a lot of miles on us, and we're realizing the wisdom of what Jesus really said. It's time to lose ourselves.
Yes.
And
yes,
we know we're going to have to do that. But we're not just losing ourselves. We're losing ourselves for another person.
That's right.
And Frank, we know as we look at the news, kind of it's not war exactly yet, but we got war in our streets, war between peoples and cultures, and what do you think?
Well, I'm reminded, as I was listening to Frank, what a wonderful history lesson that he was teaching us about, and how God was moving, And if you go back in even from the beginning, it was always when it was the darkest when revival showed up. And Isaiah got a hold of that in Isaiah chapter 60, and he says, as there is a gross darkness upon the world and a darkness upon the people, arise and shine, for the glory of God is risen and is come. Yes, and we believe that. That's what's going to take place. The glory of God is coming in such a glorious and awesome and mighty way when there's nothing else but us, but just Him.
That's right, and that's why we have this podcast. So some of you, this is the only time you ever get to hear this kind of thing. Is there another gospel? Well, yes and no. There is no real other gospel, but is one being preached? Yeah. Is it bad people preaching it? No. It's just kind of the only thing they know. So they just need to hear some good, fresh news that the gospel of Jesus Christ is about Jesus Christ. We get on this man, and we believe that God will rend the heavens and come down. Until next time, bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to the Revive Us Now podcast with Steve Gray. Push the subscribe button so you don't miss an episode. And spread the word on social media. For more episodes and resources, go to reviveusnowpodcast.com. Until next time, keep on running for revival.